Welcome back to Green Lines. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. I've got Kurt Landry back with me today. I'm always pumped to be able to announce that Rabbi Kurt Landry is back on our show. I love him so much. He's always a major contributor to this show and whatever we are. He's had such a foundational work in this podcast. So we're going to talk about an interesting topic today. We're going to be considering dreams and visions. And really, are they relevant for our times and the challenges of today? As we put this together, we're going to open up a lot of topics and a lot to consider. Well, you know, it was back in 2019 when Kurt Landry released his first book, Reclaiming Our Forgotten Heritage. This was a book that I've been able to interview Kurt about and learn a lot from him, but it walks readers through the Landry's personal journey, as well as the transformative power of connecting with our spiritual roots and identity. And you know, if you heard that podcast, I hope you did. If not, it's on CPN Shows, Green Lines. You won't have any trouble finding it. They are just really good friends of mine and a good brother. And we're going to deal with a difficult topic today. But first, let me welcome Kurt Landry back to Green Lines. Sir, welcome back to the show.
Dr. Green, always good to be with you. And, you know, this is kind of a sensitive subject, but I think it's something that between the both of us needs to be discussed so people can make their own decision and have their own opinions of when dreams and visions come. What's God trying to say to us?
Well, I know in a church setting how to test the spirits, you know, see if these things, even a prophetic voice in a worship service, if a prophecy comes, we know to test it. To have it approved, to have it checked spiritually. So how do we go about that with dreams and visions, checking those spiritually?
Well, you know, it's more difficult, especially with social media. Because with social media, you can put anything out there. And, you know, let's be honest. Fear really sells, you know. If we put something out in a fear category, then it's going to have a lot more energy on it and numbers than if it was hope.
That's right.
So, but anyway, you know, one of the basics is 1 Corinthians 14:32, and it says, "And the spirits, plural, of the prophets, plural, is subject to the prophets." And so that's where before you take something to social media, the protocol would be that you actually get proven prophets and proven track records. So I do have people that contact me, and I personally have a 10-year business plan, and it's for my life, okay? And it is not only practically written, but it's also prophetically written. And so I ask the Lord when, you know, during times of prayers and fasting and to give us a vision for our ministry and our businesses. And then these things are written out. This is Habakkuk 2. Write the vision, make it plain, though it tarry, because it's going to take some time. You know, don't get impatient. So that means you have to stand with, let me say it this way. When your circumstances don't line up with the vision that the Lord's given you, you're supposed to stand. You're not supposed to go trade in the vision and modify it.
There it is.
Okay.
Yes.
And then the key is after you get that vision, then when it comes time, then you're able to run with it. And so, you know, we're in a total reset of the world. Everyone wants to focus on the United States, but we're in a reset of the world. And there's really seven things, and our guests can write these down. These are my, like when I do a prophetic class and I'm teaching young prophets, I would say, here's seven areas that you need to be able to understand. These are some of the boundaries.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, number one is a prophet, a New Testament prophet should confirm vision you've already had. So, and second, correct and fine tune means to expand upon it. Third, revive or awaken visions that have been put to sleep by either past wounds, disappointments, or anxieties. Four, there's warning to protect your vision. And it's a warning, like when God's getting ready to unpack your vision, to confirm it so that you can run with it. Typically, prophets will come and give warnings, and that would be a warning I'd give to everybody right now. Do not surrender your vision, purpose, and call because of COVID. Don't do it, because the COVID is a test. It's not a reset that's coming to stop your vision. So that would be like, that's a prophetic warning that I'm giving them. Okay, number five, which would be one of the main reasons for a prophet, is to expand your vision. I would say that this COVID season really was a forced sabbatical to reset and redeem, to enlarge vision, not to reduce them, and to expand them into areas like what we're doing right now into the digital world. Okay. And six would be a warning of an attack or something coming, like a harbinger, or there's a warning coming. That would be another, an assignment of a prophet. And the sixth one is, which people really don't understand and is the most important. I'm sorry, the seventh one is the most important, is that is to pronounce judgments against these attacks, to dismantle, cancel, or not allow them to manifest, because God gave us a warning, and the warning came not so that it would happen, but that we would actually take authority over it and cancel it.
Well, I understand. And what a great list that is. That's a, I'd love to unpack that at length. I can imagine it takes you 3 or 4 hours to do that in a seminar.
Those seven right there, multiple hours. But
sure.
But the thing is that, you know, it's like anything else, and you know, I'm a businessman. If you'll stay inside your I always tell people this, you know, life is a pizza, okay? So if you'll stay within your slice and don't get jealous of the right slice or the left slice or the one directly across, just, we all prophesy in part and we look through a glass dimly. Just lay your piece down. And I think probably one of the greatest visuals is this. My family in the winter, in Oklahoma, as you know, it's cold and we're not outside enjoying the lake and the pool. So here's the thing. In the winter, we do puzzles, and we've been doing puzzles for years. So we do these, you know, huge puzzles, and there's, you know, and one of the puzzles that the Lord spoke to me one time was this beautiful lake, and the clouds were reflecting in the still lake,
hard puzzle.
On the lake. Yeah. And reflecting in the sky. So as long as you only hold one piece of the sky and the cloud, why argue over whether or not it's in the sky or if it's in the lake? You won't know where the piece fits until you surrender it and put it down.
That's a good word. Very good analogy. So let me ask you a question in that same vein. Why do you think there's so much error in the area of well-meaning people, good-hearted people? Are they trying to keep up? Are they misreading? Is there some motive here that I can't understand?
Well, yes, because it's the spirit. Let me list kind of the overall spirits that we're battling right now. That, listen, we've always battled them. We've always battled them. Okay, but they're really manifesting now. And I think it's the Lord allowing them to manifest so that we can actually get free from them. But so inside the prophetic movement, which, you know, I've been involved in the prophetic movement for 30 years. So this is like not new to me. I mean, I came out born again and prophesying with words of knowledge and wisdom from the time I got saved. So I'm a rare bird in the sense that I was born into this and I have a track record behind it, but I have also been very misunderstood by a lot of prophetic voices. But at the same time, I'm also a pastor. And I think being a pastor of a church where I'm actually having to, so to say, I take care of spiritually everything from diapers to ushering in the elderly into the kingdom of God. So, and on a regular basis. So it's not like I'm not just like out in the prophet cloud in an itinerant place. I have a lot of things affecting the filter. And that's the word I want to use, is filter. What, anytime you get a prophetic word, you always filter it through a lot of your own cultural, spiritual, and the things you've been through. That's why if you're a wounded prophet and you're not healed, then you can take something perfectly clear from heaven, take it, so to say, I'll go a little deeper. A prophetic word comes out of the third heaven, it is contaminated in the second heaven, and then it's manipulated on earth.
Mm-hmm. Now, I see a lot of that part, that manipulation. It almost sometimes comes too conveniently. You know, some prophecy is very convenient, others very. Remember a year ago when you were speaking about COVID, and it was so out there. I mean, nobody saw this coming, and we were speaking about it. Now, every day, I read prophetic words about COVID. And, you know, it just seems that if God's really got something to say, the rock will speak, right? I'm not going to miss it. If God wants to say something to me, I'm going to hear it.
Right. Well, here's what's happening in the world, but it's also happening within the prophetic world, okay? And this is just my opinion, okay? So please, but I want everyone that's in the prophetic world to kind of like listen to what I'm saying, because it's just my observation. So in the world, we're battling a cancer culture, okay? Well, prophets don't want to agree. They want to cancel because they didn't get it from them. So from their ministry, so then if it's not coming through them, maybe we should cancel it. Okay, I see that going back and forth. So instead of embracing and adding to and confirming it, that happens. And there seems to be a death of real truth. And so, you know, the world calls it fake news, but there's also a death of real prophetic gifting that's operating as well. There's a censorship culture that also has a threat. We're going to censor you. And if you don't be quiet about this, we're going to start sending death threats to that. We see that out in the world with this culture we're in now. But, you know, I think that cancel and that censorship is real. I think we see a bipartisanship and a tribalism in the world right now. So you're either for our group, and if you're not, we can't negotiate. We can't, like, talk. If you're not for us, we're against us. And I see a lot of that happening inside the prophetic world. There's an increase of social isolation that's happening because of COVID. And so what's happening is we're not fellowshipping. We're not able to have conferences. We're not coming together where a lot of those walls come down, Dr. Green. And so what's happening is I see this kind of cancel judgment, and I don't mean biblical judgment, but a critical spirit moving into it. And you can see it on social media. And so, you know, what's happening is, let's face it, the media is manipulating people, and what's happening is we have to be careful that the modern day prophetic movement through social media is not hijacked with that same manipulation. And you know this, I mean, you're a professor, you have a doctorate, and you understand that the word says that manipulation and rebellion is as witchcraft. So everyone's worried about, you know, high level witchcraft, but yet how do we cast out Satan? Satan can't cast out Satan. So that's why there's a certain level of consecration and holiness that prophets need to walk in. And so that they are able to, here's the key, I've learned this in 30 years. After I speak out a word, I never defend God or myself.
Okay. That's good. You just wait for it, right? If it's true, it'll show up.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, if you go to Jeremiah, you know, chapter 20, and he said, I spoke out, I cried out violence and plunder, and then I became a reproach, and they mocked me, and they attacked me, and so he was complaining about the fact that he spoke out for God. So just because Jeremiah did it doesn't mean we follow that pattern. So the thing is that you have to humble yourself, and you have to take that protocol, test it with other prophets. First of all, is it biblically correct? Is the spirit in which I received it, was I in the right place or was I in a wrong place when I received it at the reception of it? Can I remove the filters? Can I submit it to other prophets for correction? Can I submit it to them for direction and expansion? Can I totally surrender ownership to it and put it out there? And then the key is with two or three other prophets, is it time for it to be released? And that has to come from the Lord, and because these gifts are for the Lord. I have words that the Lord's given me from 10, 15 years ago I have not released. And I'll just give you an example. I'll just say it this way. I know they're specifically for the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. Okay, it's that specific, that location, these people, my people, and I know, and I've been sitting on these for years, but it's easier to see, but my people and Israel is not ready for this word, but when they're ready, I've been sitting on it for 10 or 15 years.
And you'll know when it's time to release it.
I know, I'll know exactly, and when and then you'll have the fruit from it.
Absolutely.
But see, what happens with a lot of young prophets is they get something and they think, oh my gosh, it's this competition thing. I want to be the first one to release it on social media.
Well, it's even worse than just that thought of competition. It's the scoop, the old news scoop. I've got to be first. I've got to get a lot of thumbs up. I've got to go viral. Everyone is in search of viral right now. What do you think that motive is? If, you know, I give a prophetic word or I speak a vision or a dream and all of a sudden it blows up and America's talking about it. What good is that? What have I gained?
Yeah, you haven't gained anything. It's really a combination of a Jezebel and a Leviathan spirit, where the Jezebel demands attention and then the Leviathan spirit twists the words just enough. So yeah, you're going to get some attention, but it's going to be negative. You know, Dr. Green, listen, there's four kinds of dreams. Can we talk about that just for a minute?
Sure.
Okay. First of all, there's just ordinary dreams. Okay. And in Ecclesiastes 5:7 says, in a multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity, but the fear of the Lord. So I call them pizza dreams. Okay. Just because you had a dream and you're a prophetic person doesn't mean that your dream is prophetic. I mean, really, and so prophetic dreams would be visions that come at night, like in Job 33:14-16, it says, for God may speak in one way and another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while on their beds, then he opens their ears of men and seals their instruction. So what happens is it means you already have had to have a foundation of biblical truth and prophetic experience, and then in the mercy of God, what he's saying is, you know what, I'm running out of time, you're not getting it, I'm going to send this dream. And so the dream becomes a trigger not to activate, but to go back and do what I talked about earlier, to refine, awaken, protect the vision, and expand the vision according to the dream, then go to the prophets. And the key is after you go to the prophets, not only to confirm it, but when it's time to release a prophetic word, it's really Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication. So, you know, that word supplication, really, I don't know about the Greek, but in the Hebrew, when you supplicate, it means earnestly humble yourself and ask in your heart to the Lord, is this from you and is it time? So there really has to be no anxiety. Okay, the sky's not falling. You pray to the Lord, which is conversation in his word. And then you have supplication where you humble yourself with what? Thanksgiving. Say, Lord, I thank you. This is your word. Whatever's missing, if you want me to have it, release it. If not, but when it's time, you'll have a shalom. You'll have a peace where there's nothing broken and nothing missing. And there's two other dreams. There's soul dreams, which are actually memories of places like you need to be healed. Like you'll have a dream, like maybe you were molested or something bad happened to you, and you'll have a reoccurring dream. That's a soul dream because you need inner healing. Okay. The Lord's bringing that dream to you so you could have inner healing. And then the last dream is spiritual warfare dreams, where the Lord allows some warfare to happen in your dream in order to awaken you. But there's also, during those dreams, there can be impartations of spiritual gifts. He can take you to another level, all those types of things. But those are, I know there's more, but that's basically the four categories. And the first thing that needs to happen when you have a vision or a dream is take them into that four categories and discern, is this a prophetic dream or is it for me? See, it may be just it's in it for you and it's not in it for everybody on Facebook or social media.
Right. So let's kind of summarize this. I think a great question to end, or at least trying to wrap up what your thoughts are on this topic. Is there a New Testament prophetic responsibility and boundaries dictum that you would share? What is the best advice you can give to all of us as it relates to New Testament boundaries regarding our responsibility with the word God gives us?
For those of you that are prophets, okay, and listen, the scripture is very clear that the Lord desires that we should all prophesy, and all of us can. But if you're actually operating in the gift of a prophet, we don't have time to go there. That might be another show where I can speak about that. But here's the key. Here's the key is you've got to have some healthy, seasoned prophets that are mentoring you or around you so that they can bring confirmation. You know, recently there was a dream on the internet. I got the dream. I said, okay. I wrote down what I thought. Okay. Took a yellow pad. I wrote it down. I called Pastor Tim Osball. He and I have been together 20 years. He's a prophet. Like I say, he's co-pastors with me 20 years. He is the best dream interpretation person I know. So I don't say anything to him. I send the thing to him. He comes back. He writes it down. We look, and we both got the same thing. Okay?
Yes.
So I thought that was good. So then you want me to go to the next step
Yes.
What we did?
Yes.
Okay, the next step is what we did is we unpacked what was being said. So there was, in this dream, there's modern day things like this group, and this group possibly are going to do harm to America. Okay, so these are just modern names, but what you have to do is go into the Ancient of Days. What are the spirits behind these? Okay, so I see those spirits. I say, okay, that's that. And then I said, okay, so what's happening in this dream is not literally what's happening is going to happen, but these spirits have intentions of harming the nation, not through these current identities, but through ancient identities. And what's the ancient door open to those? And so basically what we did is we went into the courts of heaven with people of authority, and we identified these ancient gates and lift up your heads, O you gates. And we canceled the authority that of what's trying to come into the gate of America and allowed the King of Glory to take over those gates, and we shut them down. So that would have been, but listen, so, you know, that's what we do as a ministry. We travel all over the world. We'll go into a country and do warfare with a president or a prime minister and business people and pray with them and then shift, and no one even knows that we've come in and out. So a lot of this stuff is not for social media. I'm just sharing with your people that so we got the dream, we heard it, we canceled it, and so I'm kind of glad that the dream came out. But the anxiety I have over it is that it created so much anxiousness. Our job as the good news preachers, all of us, whether you're an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist, a pastor, an administrator, any part of the fivefold ministry, you are to be blessed is the peacemaker. So you are to stay in your slice bringing peace. And this is the key word. Faith moves God and fear moves Satan. So when we publish things that bring fear, then we're actually working for the enemy.
Wow, that's powerful. So, brother, we're at this place where I want to take the other side of it, and I'm the receiver of a dream. I've read a prophecy, I've read about a dream, or I've heard it, it's been passed on to me. Teach us, just as we wrap this up, teach us to receive these things that people send out to us with the right spirit and the right heart, so we don't miss God or that we don't over-respond. I think you've been addressing the sender, the prophet, the dreamer. Now let's go to the other side, and how do we receive it?
I would say that, you know, very basic is that, you know, Jesus said, you'll know a tree by its fruit. So I think the first thing you have to do is you have to ask yourselves, after I process this, how did it, what spirit in me, you have the Holy Spirit in you, what spirit in me was aroused? Hmm. Was it fear or faith? Secondly, does this line up with the Word of God? Basic theological, doctrinal. I'm not going into eschatology. I'm just saying, does this, is it scriptural?
Okay.
Okay. Is it scriptural? Okay. That would be the next thing. And then the third thing would have to be is, what has the Lord before this, let's say fear hit you. Before the fear came, what did the Lord promise you was going to come? Does this confirm the promise or try to cancel it? And if it tries to cancel what you already have had promised from the Lord, then the dream is not from God.
Okay. That's strong.
I mean, that's about it. Is that okay? Is that, I mean, yeah, that's like basic as that.
I think our listeners, yeah. I think we all mainly want to make sure that when someone tells us these things, that we've got some check system, some way of monitoring.
Yeah.
And obviously, against the Word of God is great. But the prophecy that you're referring to, how do you check that by the Word? It's just someone who says that this is going to happen or that's going to happen.
Well, you know, the key with it is this, is I don't think that these people and the one we're talking about is causing any, they don't mean any harm.
Right.
It was alarming to them. So they put it out, and then thus it's alarming to whoever reads it. And that's why you have to go back to be anxious for nothing before you deliver a word. And then everything, pray to the Lord in supplication with thanksgiving, and let your request be made known to God, and say, Lord, do you want me to reveal this now? And then it says that the Lord will bring understanding that surpasses, that guards your heart, your mind, through Christ Jesus. So that means your heart, your soul, your spirit, man, okay? Your spirit, the Holy Spirit, your spirit, your mind, your carnal mind, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, everything is at peace.
That's
so
good.
If you're not at peace with something, you shouldn't be putting it out there. You never put stuff out in a panic. You know, but here's the balance, you know, famous saying, you'll recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
The world will not be destroyed by those for those who do evil. So I'm not worried about these small anarchists. They're going to be taken care of by the Lord and by different authorities. But here's the key. And it goes on in this, it says, but those who watch them without doing anything. And of course, that's Albert Einstein. We don't want to not do anything, but as believers, we fit into a unique category. We're not this group, that all these other groups don't play by any rules. They do whatever they want, thus confusion and chaos. We are the peacemakers. So even though we bring correction and direction, it has to be through that filter of Philippians 4:6-7, let's filter it through the Lord, filter it through the fivefold ministry. Let's get confirmation. Let's pray more before than when we speak it. Let's have really some time of intercession and prayer, supplication, and then deliver it, and ask the Lord for an anointing to deliver it, so it brings faith, hope, and love, and not fear, stress, and anxiety.
That's the best test right there, isn't it, brother? If it's bringing on fear, it's probably not coming from God.
No, because, you know, the Lord, Paul told Timothy, as you know,
yes.
The Lord did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of what? A sound
power.
Mind.
Yes.
And, yeah, power and a sound mind. And,
that's,
you know,
right.
And Romans 8:6, not to be carnally minded. Everyone says, oh, my mind is at enmity with God. That's not what Paul was saying there. What he's saying is that when your mind is not sanctified by the renewing of the washing of the word, that's why it says carnal mind. But your spiritual mind, Jesus said, let this mind be in you. The same attitudes and the same anointing I have, I died on the cross to give to you, empowered you at Pentecost to receive,
yes.
It. Use that mind.
Yes, that's good word. Well, brother, we've got to stop. Don't want to. But what I'd like you to do before we close this podcast is for you to give a word to our listeners. We'll have many thousand listening to you today. Give us a word to end the day with before sunset. Give us a good thought that will carry us through the night?
Well, the word the Lord's given me is out of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 19. Now, understand that Jeremiah was formed in his mother's womb. He was sanctified and ordained to be a prophet to the nations. This is all about nations. The Lord is giving us the nations for our inheritance. And verse 19 says, "And they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am the Lord your God, says the Lord, to deliver you."
Yes. Amen. Tell us where your book is, how we can find it. Always want to be able to stay in touch with you. How do our listeners contact you?
They just go to kurtlandry.com, CURTLANDRY.com.
That's easy enough, and there's a lot there, isn't there, brother?
Yeah, there's a lot there. They can go there. If they really want to know more about this, last Thursday, I did a talked about dreams on my program, and then on Tuesday, I also brought a word about dreams. So you can go back to see kurtlandry.com, look at last Trending Tuesdays. They can join me on Trending Tuesdays. That's about a 20 to 30 minute broadcast. And then I minister on Thursdays for 45 minutes and end with communion so that people can actually seal. I'm teaching on act, apply, change, and transform. You have to apply the word, allow it to change you, and allow the Holy Spirit and the power of the blood to transform you into the likeness of Messiah.
So we can tune in tomorrow night, right? What time and how do we find it? On your website?
7 Central, KurtLandry.com.
All right, brother. Thank you again for being on the show. You always bless me. I learned so much from you. This has been a class. I think it's on the 400 level, though. it was a really good class, brother. Thank you so much.
Oh, bless you guys. Thank you all for having it.
Yes, sir. You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my producer, Adley, we encourage you again to visit KurtLandry.com and know that Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Live abundantly. God bless you all.